So again, thank you all for being here today, this Veterans Day. It's a wonderful day, and you know, I'm so blessed to be your pastor in this town of Orion, because I'll be able to represent you in the community this afternoon, and I hope some of you can attend. It's at 2 o'clock. But thank you for being here today. Anyone here ever play the game of Trivial Pursuit? Anybody ever play that game? Yeah, it's a fun game. It's a board game that's centered on trivial questions. And I think you agreed to me that life is full of trivia. Would you agree? Whether you know the answer of the board game itself or not, it is full of trivia. However, today we're going to address the question or the trivia of what must I do to be saved? And it's vital for us to know. It is a question that we cannot afford to miss or misunderstand. And that's what we will address in this message today, which is the second part of a message called The Great Debate, Burdens of Faith. Now, today, Quentin was baptized. He understands here what I must do to be saved. And I pray that all of you come to that same understanding. So please turn in your Bibles to Acts 15, verse 22, which is on page 981 of the Pew Bibles, which is the infallible and the inspired and the living Word of God. But before we go into it, let's start with a prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask that you watch after us and lift these words up to our ears so that we can apply them to our hearts, Lord. You are the author and creator of all life, and you've given us your holy word. Your message to the world is in this Bible, your holy word. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. 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 So last week, if you weren't here, I apologize, but you can look at our sermons online and get the first part of this message. But last week I introduced the message by giving first the verses in Acts 15, where we find in our Bibles there, where Dr. Luke wrote this book of Acts about the Jewish Christians, how they were demanding that the new Gentile believers should get circumcised as a requirement for membership. Now, we're not going to put you through that there, Quentin, but it's a sorrowful circumstance. And Jesus Christ died for us on the cross so that we wouldn't have to have these same requirements put on us that Moses instilled in the initial Jewish believers. Paul was confronting this issue directly as he knew it, and it really hurt the new churches, and as they were just starting to get started. These weren't Jewish believers that were already circumcised. These were people that were outside of the Jewish community, the Gentiles, and now they were saying that they too had to get circumcised. Paul was angry and hurt at the same time, so he decided to go back down to Jerusalem, the headquarters there, if you will, to meet with the elders on the matter. In the meanwhile, he wrote this letter the book of Galatians to the Galatians church that he and Barnabas had established just prior, pleading with them not to fall prey to these false demands. The book or letter called Galatians has 6 short chapters, and it's a really heartfelt letter from Paul that expresses his thoughts and feelings about this particular issue that they were now facing in Acts. We listened last week to the first part of this letter, and we will listen this morning to the remaining 3 chapters. This is not what I normally do in a process of a sermon message, but that letter in Galatians is so tied into what was going on there in Acts. I thought it would be nice to do that. And this letter points well the situation that Paul is now going to debate in front of the Christian church leaders in Jerusalem, the council of leaders. We will listen to the second half of the book of Galatians now, and then we will go back to this book of Acts, and we'll see what the outcome of the debate is in chapter 15. So if you wish now, you can follow along in your Bibles in the letter to the Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 3 through 6. And on your pew Bibles, it's page 1033. And then we'll go back to this book of Acts afterwards. So we'll go ahead and list it if you want to cue it up there, Adeline.
Chapter 4, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children,
this is Paul's actual word.
They are often slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever father said. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son for the woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, the slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. And now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and use the spiritual powers of this world? You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years. I hear you. I am afraid that all my hard work for you is worth nothing. Dear friends, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, while I have become like you Gentiles were, free from the law. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ. But even though my sickness was revolting to you, you did not reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then? In those days, I know you would gladly have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good. They're trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay more attention to them. Now it's wonderful if you are eager to do good, and especially when I'm not with you. But oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going to leave a page for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Oh, I wish I were there with you right now, so that I could be more gentle with you. But at this distance, I frankly don't know what else to do. Listen to me, you who want to live under the law. Do you know what the law really says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his free-born wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the free-born wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. Now these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Hagar, the slave wife, represents Mount Sinai, where people first became enslaved to the law. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery. But Sarah, the free woman, represents the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is our mother. That is what Isaiah meant when he prophesied, "Rejoice, O childless woman. Break forth into loud and joyful song, even though you never gave birth to a child." For the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. And we who are born of the Holy Spirit are persecuted by those who want us to keep the law, just as Isaac, the child of promise, was persecuted by Ishmael, the son of the slave wife. But what did the scripture say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the family inheritance with the free woman's son. Dear friends, we are not children of the slave woman obligated to the law. We are children of the free woman acceptable to God because of our faith. Chapter 5. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I will tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you. I'll say it again, if you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all of the regulations of the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised to us of our right with God through faith. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised. which interfered with you to hold you back from following the truth. It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. And it takes only one wrong person among you to infect all the others, and the yeast spreads quickly through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to bring you back to believing as I do about these things. God will judge that person, whoever it is, who has been troubling and confusing. Dear friends, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why would the Jews persecute me? The fact that I'm still being persecuted proves that I'm still preaching salvation through the cross of Christ alone. I only wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. You, dear friends, have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if, instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out! Beware of destroying one another. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Your old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your life will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, dissipation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Chapter 6. Dear friends, if a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone in need, you are only fooling yourself. You are really a nobody. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the Word of God should help their teachers by paying them. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God in that way. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. But we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised are doing it for just one reason. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. Even those who advocate circumcision don't really keep the whole law. They only want you to be circumcised so they can brag about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because at that cross, my interest in this world died long ago, and the world's interest in me is also long dead. It doesn't make any difference now whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we really were changed into new and different people. May God's mercy and peace be upon all those who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. My dear Christian friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Chapter 2.
You feel the poignant struggle that's in Paul's heart in this letter? I mean, that was a lot to digest. But you over and over and over again, I don't know how many times he had to say it in that one letter, it's only by faith that we are saved, not by works, not by the law, only by faith. And he's writing this letter to the people he loved and churches that he established just recently. And he is trying to keep them on the right track while he's deliberating on this issue with the saints down in Jerusalem. This is huge to our church, even here today. It's only by faith we are saved, through grace. In that regard, we should not be swayed by public opinion. It's only by faith, only by faith. He really was hurt and resolute at the same time in this message. And he, as he wrote with such large letters, he said, I wrote this in my own hand with large letters, he said. It's almost like he knew that one day we would be reading from text, and he wanted us to know that without a shadow of doubt that it was him who wrote it with sincere and deliberate intent. He cared for the new churches, and he cared for us too, I would argue. That's Paul. Now, looking back at Acts, at the book of Acts, because that's where we're right in the middle of Acts 15. After hearing Paul's side of the situation, and as we talked about last week, Peter and James, who were the leaders of the church at the time, stood up and defended Paul's position, as it was stated in Galatians. In that, they decided to make it clear that they agreed and we are saved by grace through faith alone. Nothing else was required. Then, starting in verse 22 of this Acts 15, it describes the letter that they wrote to the new Gentile believers in this regard. Verse 22 of Acts 15 says, "Then the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, decided to select men who were among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, both leading men amongst the brothers, they wrote," and here's the letter, "from the apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers and sisters amongst the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, and greetings. Since we have heard that some without our authorization went from us and troubled you with their words and unsettled in your hearts, we have unanimously decided to select men and send them to you along with our dearly beloved brother Barnabas and Saul," or Paul, "who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who will personally report the same things by word of mouth. For it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements, that you abstain from food offered to idols, from blood, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. You will do well if you keep yourselves from these things. Farewell." So that's the letter that they wrote. Paul experienced it. Paul wrote his letter. And then here the elders of the church wrote their letter also to affirm what Paul was saying. So again, they all agreed that it was not Jesus' intent that his followers go back to the requirements of the law. The whole purpose of the law given to Moses in the Old Testament by God was simply to point out clearly that we are all sinners, and we are incapable of keeping the laws perfectly on our own. Therefore, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, so that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, one of our favorite verses. We are all saved by grace through faith alone. We are all saved by grace through faith alone. Faith in that God's grace and mercy given to us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was enough to pay for all of our sin. When Jesus said his last dying words on the cross, he said, "It is what?
Finished."
That's what he said up on the cross. "It is finished." Let me tell you what that "it" is. He meant that everything he intended to accomplish was accomplished. And in that, Jesus paved now a new path for us so that we could get to heaven. He paid our ransom. His blood was shed for me. "It is finished" means now that anyone who accepts his sacrificial gift, him dying on the cross for our sins, they will go to heaven, period. Nothing else is required. Amen? Anything we add to that free and blessed offering actually diminishes the value of what Jesus did on the cross. He offers us now a perfect and complete, finished sacrifice. Not a partial sacrifice that we have to complement with additional works, like in this case, circumcision. It was complete. That is what this debate argument was all about. That is what Paul got so excited about. However, having said that, this letter, though, did put some requirements on them, but those additional requirements were not for salvation. It was for their good order. They were rules that were addressing some cultural sensitivities and some weaknesses that they found in the churches. And that is later on talked about a whole lot in the book to the letter to the Corinthians, as a matter of fact. He said, "Abstain," or "stay away from idols." Well, that goes against God himself, right? That's simple. "Abstain from blood." Well, it carries bacteria, and it's repulsive even to some, right? You didn't have microscopes back then, but these were still important issues for the general health of the people. "Abstain from eating anything that has been strangled," because it's repulsive. They're not going to listen to your witness, your testimony, if they're seeing you do repulsive things. "And from sexual immorality, as it leads to all kinds of diseases and sin." Those are general requirements that they want the people to do. That's not a requirement for salvation. It's okay, Christian, now that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, this is how we live. These are the weaknesses that still trip us up even today. These are mostly common sense guidelines that we should all consider. Again, they were not suggesting that this was required, but we should all strive to be sensitive, even today, to the culture that's around us. Paul said, you know, if I can eat meat, I can eat all kinds of animals, but if it causes one of my brothers to, if it makes them uncomfortable, then I will never eat meat again. We're supposed to be sensitive to our cultures. But now here, our final verses here, starting in verse 30, it says, "So they were sent off, and they went down to Antioch. And after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement." How would you like to be in their cases, thinking that, okay, guys, you ready? We're all going to have to get circumcised if we want to stay in this church. I think half the church would leave. "So they were encouraged. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters and strengthened them with a long message. And after spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers and sisters to those who had sent them." Verse 35 says, "But Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the word of the Lord." Harmony was restored. They rejoiced. They were encouraged. And they had peace. Praise the Lord. Don't we want peace in our churches? Do you want peace in your families? Do you want peace amongst your friends? As we talk downstairs, do we want peace in the world? Reach for Christ. That's the answer. So the takeaways of today's message, and we're cutting it a little bit short because now we're going after this we're going to have the Lord's Supper, which, by the way, this will be your first one, Quentin. The takeaways for the message, this message today are this. One, don't let anybody add to the requirements of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Say it with me. Saved by grace through faith alone. Two, stand up for what you believe. Don't be a closet Christian. There's a lot of people who think, well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm not going to wear it on my sleeve. God said that those who deny me before men, I will deny. If you're truly a Christian, you will want to share the good news, to work out the Great Commission, bringing others into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Study God's Word. Study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God gave us His holy word so that we can study it and for us to know His good will. And then once you know it, then stand up. Stand up and defend it like Paul and Barnabas did here today. And three, finally, be encouraged, dear Christ follower, because God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, to die for you. It is finished. It is finished indeed. So would you please stand? I appreciate that you guys, it's a lot of listening and a lot of reading and things of that nature. But this is God's Word, and He wants us to know God's Word. And it's beautiful. The more you get into it, the more you'll learn to rely upon it, lean upon it when necessary. But as we close here now, we have what's called an invitation. And if you haven't accepted this as God's Word, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you recognize now that that is the truth, and I want that truth, then this is the time that you would come forward and ask for prayer over the congregation, accept Christ as your Savior. And if you would like to join the church, now's the time to do it. And if you would like to get baptized, just like Quentin got baptized, this is the time to make that known. So would you please, Norma? Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Was thy wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Father God, now as we transition here, Lord, today, we ask that Your blessings be upon us. Father God, we're going to experience now Your Lord's Supper, is what we call it. Lord, I ask that You bless this offering here today. And Lord, that it be a humble offering, Lord, that points to You. And it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Would the ushers come forward? Or where's it at, Amy? Come on. Oh, here we go. Now, we have experienced what's called open communion here, which means as long as you've been baptized, like Quentin has been baptized as a believer, then we invite you to participate with us here today. If you have not been baptized as a believer, then we ask that you abstain, because this is a serious thing. We're demonstrating what Jesus Himself did for us before He went up on the cross. So here you go. Let's go ahead and pass it down to the people. And each one gets two. Yeah, let them get. They can grab it. Just hand it out to them. And just hold it until I can read the scripture verses.
cups here. The bottom is the bread, and the top one is the wine. Go ahead and separate the two.
This is a time of reflection about our spiritual condition and fellowship with one another, and more importantly, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Luke 22:19 says, "And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, 'This is my body, which is given to you.
Do this in remembrance of me.'" So now take the bread and take the bread.
And then Luke 22:20 says, "In the same way he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is a new covenant, a contract established in my blood. It is shed for you.'" And then 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask that you watch after each and every one of us here, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we love you. And we ask that you, that as we ate this bread, that we ask that you watch after us, Lord, and allow us, Lord, to never forget you. And as we drink that cup, Lord, we ask that you bless us as we move forward from this church here today. And Lord, that we never forget you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, ever. And Lord, we thank you. And in that we say, amen. Thank you all for being here today. This is a special day. It's a beautiful day. And we're so proud of Quentin here. And everybody give him a round of applause. And we do have a card. Where's that card at now that we can sign? Anybody who's got the card right now? Anybody? What's that? Okay, it's gone through. And we welcome you to come down or come over here, and we're going to have a little fellowship, popcorn, everything. Have a great day, everybody. God bless you.